Good morning.
Morning.
Hope everyone is ready to get started. The April 27, 2022 meeting of the Coastal Regional MPO will now come to order. The Coastal Regional MPO is holding a hybrid virtual meeting in an effort to be in compliance with local and state regulations regarding social distancing and to maintain the health and safety of all involved in these public hearings. For staff, board members, and members of the public who are participating, today's agenda is broken down into the following items. Approval of the agenda, committee reports, actions items to be rescinded by the staff, other business, status report on current projects and activities, information report, other public comments, notes by the chairman, and adjournment. For each agenda item, action item, the staff will make a presentation. The board may then ask questions of the staff for clarification. During the public comment section, the floor will be open to the public to discuss matters on the agenda. For members of the public, if you wish to comment on an item that the board is considering, use the hand raise feature on your screen. For person attending the meeting in person who desire to speak, staff will provide you with a speaker card. At the appropriate time, I will recognize you and staff will direct you to the microphone. At the end of your allotted time, as determined by me, you will be notified that your time has expired and I will recognize the next speaker. This meeting will now be called to order. And let me say now, we just got information from the governor as concerned to board members. The only time you can use the Zoom meeting or be on virtually is that there is an emergency. The governor has said that as of March 27th, that order has been rescinded, so you're required to be here. First thing, let me ask, do we have a quorum? We have a quorum, okay. So from today on now, all the board members, remember, you have to be in person unless there is an emergency of some sort that you have to be cleared on. All right, moving forward, I have approval of the agenda.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Please identify who is moving and seconding.
Motion, Lee Smith.
Second, Tanya Belcher.
It's been properly motioned and second that the agenda be adopted. Are you ready for the question? All those in favor signify by voting.
Aye.
Voting aye.
Aye.
Bless for what?
Are those virtually now for this meeting, when you say aye, please identify who you are. Okay, so okay. We may record it in the records. Let's do it again.
Aye, Tom Hutcherson.
Aye, Tom Caiafa.
Aye, Eric Larson.
Aye, Les Russell.
Ready? Aye, Tanya Milton.
Yes, Lee Smith.
Aye, Pamela Bernard.
Aye, Nick Palumbo.
Aye, Faye DeMassimo.
Aye, Diedrich Cody.
Aye, Jim Aiello.
Aye, Chester Ellis. The votes are in. The agenda is approved. Shall we have committee reports from ACAT? Mrs. Harrington?
Hi, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
Okay. I will be speaking in place of Chairwoman Oglesby.
Mm-hmm.
Because we did not have a quorum at the previous meeting, we were not able to vote on any of the action items.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you, ma'am. Let's move on to CAC.
Hi, Sally Helm speaking in place of the chairman for the CAC. We met Monday evening and did not have a quorum either. They voted to support but could not endorse.
Okay. Bernard?
Good morning. Thank you. The CCC committee met on April 14th, and we did have a quorum, and we went through the action items. The amendments to the FY 2023 UPWP were endorsed. The call for projects was recommended to be tabled until June, and the April, the amendments to the FY 21-24 TIP were endorsed for approval by the board.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Wilson, Executive Director's Report? She's not here. Okay. Let's move on to the action items then. Okay. Approval of the February 23 Core MPO Board Meeting Minutes. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I move that we approve the February 23, 2022 Core MPO Board Meeting Minutes. Nick Palumbo?
Lee Smith, second.
Properly motion and second that the approval of the February 23rd Core MPO meeting board meeting minutes be approved. Are you ready for the question? Please signify, and when you give your approval or disapproval, please state your name.
Tom Canoff, aye.
Tom Hutcherson, aye.
Eric Larson, aye.
Dr. Shabazz, aye.
Les Fussell, aye.
Tanya Milton, aye.
Lee Smith, aye.
Pamela Bernard, aye.
Nick Palumbo, aye.
Faye DiMassimo, aye.
Duke Cody, aye.
Jim Aiello, aye.
All right.
Miley. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Miley, aye.
Okay. All votes in. I heard somebody just in. Who's the last person to speak? Okay, Bob. Okay. All right. The motion passed. Amendments to the FY 23 UPW. Wakota?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I move that we approve the amendments to the fiscal year 2023 UPWP. This is Nick Palumbo.
All right. She needs to give the report first.
That's yeah. It. I'm so confident in your abilities. That's it. We're going to approve it anyway.
I'm confident in her ability too, but she got to get to the report before. Come on, Wakota.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, the board members and the public. I'm so glad to see you face to face because I finally know what Mr. Nick Plumber looks like. Because previously I really didn't know, because we had the virtual meetings. I really cannot match the name with the faces. It's now I finally know, like including Jim as well. So finally know somebody. So I'll just go ahead and do the presentation. And actually for the UPWP amendments, this is actually good news for us. The Unified Planning Work Program is the staff work program, basically the staff budget. So it outlines how much revenues we will have for the next fiscal year, which starts on July 1st and ends on June 30th of next year. And then also how we allocate those resources to staff work. So what kind of staff work we'll be doing, like holding meetings and developing plans, et cetera. So the revenue stream for the UPWP actually comes from two sources. The first source is easier to track. That's the FTA Section 5303 funds. We know exactly the amount that we'll have for the next fiscal year because we have to go through a funding application process in November. So we know how much. Another portion, which is the major portion, is the FHW Federal Highway Administration Planning Funds, called PL funds. We would know, but last year, I think when we developed the 23 UPWP, we were told to use the previous year's numbers to be assumed to be the same as for the next year, because at that time, GDOT didn't have the updated amount yet. So we were assuming that we would have the same amount. That's about $360,000 for the next fiscal year. But in March, actually, GDOT sent us the updated figure. So that amount is $428,000. So with the local match, we are actually adding about $85,000 to next year's work program. Another new funding source that became available from the new transportation legislation is increasing safe and accessible transportation options. So we will get about $10,000. And then with the local match is about $13,000. So basically, we are adding about $98,000 to next year's UPWP. So for this newly available increasing safe and accessible transportation option, we will need to sign a separate contract with GDOT. And that funds will be used to update our non-motorized transportation plan and the thoroughfare plan. And for the additional $85,000, we decided to add those funds into two tasks. One is the administration. We will add some about $40,000, $42,000 to administration, and then another $42,000 to system planning and operation. As you may know, that we are really short-staffed. My predecessor, Mark Wilkes, retired, and another planner, Alicia Hunter, left. So we're going to recruit three more planners, actually. So that will probably increase the budget for the administration. And system planning operations, as you know, we are going to delve more into details about the 2050 long-range transportation plan update. And that will also include congestion management process. We're going to update the freight plan. And then there will be several studies and undertaken by Chatham County and the Pooler. So we will just coordinate. So that's included system planning and operations. For the increase in safe and accessible transportation, as I mentioned, we will use these funds to update our non-motorized transportation plan and the thoroughfare plan. So basically, this amendment is to add about $98,000 into the UPWP and to specific tasks. Any questions?
All right, any questions from any board member on what you just reported? All right, everybody like that increase of funds. All right, anyone from on virtual, you have any questions for Wakota? All right, hearing none now, we'll go to Ms. Palumbo.
Chair, I've been conditioned to be a little more tactical in my other capacity, but very eager to support you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
So I'll restate my motion to approve this agenda item.
I second the motion, Dr. Shabazz.
All right, Dr. Shabazz, there's a second. You heard the motion in a second. Are you ready for the question? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye and say who you are.
Hi, Tom Kaffa.
Hi, Tom Hutcherson.
Hi, Les.
Hi, Eric Larson.
Hi, Dr. Shabazz.
Hi, Tanya Milton.
Hi, Lee Smith.
Yes, Pamela Bernard.
Hi, Nick Palumbo.
Hi, Faye DeMassimo.
Hi, Deidre Cody.
Hi, Jim Aiello.
All right, Chess Ellis. All right, the motion passed. Let us move on now to the April 22 amendments to the FY21-24 TIP.
Okay. I just want to, I actually briefed the chairman on this yesterday, so I just want to let you know we finally worked with the CAT to finalize the transit portion, so we understand what CAT is proposing. The Transportation Improvement Program is the MPO short-range program document. So if a long-range transportation plan includes maybe 50, 60 projects, but the Transportation Improvement Program might only include 10 or 20 because it only covers 4 years program. So we want to make sure that all the project and the project phases and project program information included is accurate, because when FHWA, GDOT, and the FTA authorized funds, they match, so the TIP is in the check. So if they check the information in the TIP is correct, they will authorize the funds. So we actually have several TIP amendments to process in April regarding several highway projects and then three transit programs. So the highway projects include the Truman Linear Park Trail Phase 2B, Old River Road Improvement Project, Chavers Road Improvement Project, Girard Avenue Improvement Project, and Project Durain, I-16 at City Road 153 Durin Avenue project. And the transit improvements will include the section 5307 and section 5307H, which is water ferry system, and then 5339. So I'll just go over each one of these very clearly. So for the Tumalino Park Trail, when we started project development, right-of-way phase was not required, and now we know four parcels will be needed. So adding those four parcels got the project delayed a little bit because they have to acquire those four parcels. So with the right-of-way phase added, the construction phase currently programmed in fiscal 2022 cannot make it. So basically, you cannot authorize funds until you get all the right-of-way acquisition done. So what we programmed these 301 funds, and that's the Transportation Alternative Program funds and the CRESA funds, which is the COVID relief funds. So these 301 funds is about $1 million and the CRESA funds about $1.75 million. City of Savannah has already sent request letter to the Georgia Department of Transportation to move the funds from 2022 to 2023, because GDOT had this new policy: if you cannot spend it, you have to relinquish your funds. But if you're really making progress, and then you have legitimate reasons to move the funds, you have to send the request to GDOT to move the funds with the project. And then we already received the concurrence from GDOT on both moves. City of Savannah sent two letters, and we received the concurrence. So we will just go ahead and move this project for the construction phase from 2022 to 2023. There might be some cost estimate revisions later, and then we will deal with that when we get official cost estimate update. For the other project, this Old River Road project, we are basically deleting this project from the TIP. The reason being, this project is located within two counties. 1.6 miles is within Chatham County. Another 1.6 miles is within Effingham County. As you know, Effingham County, only a tiny like finger currently is located in the Quorum PO's boundary, planning boundary. And we cannot spend the MPO manage the federal dollars in those portions that is not within that boundary. So Chatham County come up with some money for the project development, but Effingham County hasn't come up with their portion of the funds. So, and Chatham County cannot spend the Chatham County money in Effingham County. So until the funding agreement is reached later, this project cannot move on. So, but this project actually, Chatham County requested some these 230 funds previously and got awarded, but since they cannot spend that money, they have to relinquish that money, because the project is not with, for development. $560,000 currently programmed for preliminary engineering for this project will be relinquished. So the next two projects will use this $560,000. What happened is when we did the call for project, two other projects, Gerard Avenue and Chevers Road Avenue, they also went through the project selection process. You cannot just allocate these funds to some random projects. So your projects have to go through all the application process and it went through the competitive project selection process. So we did get confirmation from FHWA that we allowed to do that. And the $2 million that is currently programmed in 2023 for the right of way will be released back to the pot into the Z230 coffer, and then we would do a call for project later to allocate these funds with other available funds. So this party understand we're deleting this project, relinquish the funds for other projects to use. So now we are going to talk about the $560,000 that we released. Part of that funds, about $330,000 will be used for this Chevers Road improvement because this project, like I said, has already gone through the project selection process. And it will go through the PE phase, preliminary engineering phase, because Chatham County has already signed the PFA, right? So we with GDOT, so I think there might be a little bit like amendment that will be done. So we can make sure the funds will be authorized by the end of fiscal year 2022. So $330,000 released will go through Chavers Road. another $230,000 will go to the Girard Avenue improvement, also for the PE phase. So we're basically adding a PE phase in 2022 for the Girard Avenue improvement project. And Chatham County also, your PFA is underway, right? Yeah, okay, it's already signed. So just to make a little bit like amendment for this or something. So we want to make sure that the funds in fiscal 2022 are authorized, so we don't have to relinquish it and then reallocate to the other later phases, later years. The last one for the highway project is Project Durain. This project, it has taken a long time, but during the project development, federal government decided that the city, because of the project is going through the environmental justice area, so additional EJ analysis will be needed, or additional EJ public involvement will be needed. So that will be counted as a preliminary engineering. About $1 million will be needed in fiscal year 2022. So the funding sources for the $1 million, one part is from the HIP funds, Highway Infrastructure Program funds, and another part is from the Z230 funds. The HIP funds, we have about $307,000 that will lapse. That will lapse on September 30th of this year. So we don't want the funds to lapse. We want to prevent that. So we want to use these HIP funds first for the project. Part of this $306,000 actually includes the HIP funds already allocated to US 80 bridges replacement. So Tybee actually applied for that funds and got awarded. But since that project is not going to be ready for fiscal year 2022 allocation, so we will make sure that we use the funds and then we will find some other funding sources for Tybee later. So about $140,000. Another part is a Z230 funds. This is the MPO controlled portion. And so that will be about $493,000. Currently, our fiscal 2022 Z230 balance is already balanced. So I did ask GDOT where this additional funds come from. And they said these there will be some about like $13 million from the previous federal transportation legislation that GDOT say that need to be used. So all the way going back to IST, so that's 1990. So some old money, but I mean, we don't care where the money comes from as long as we have additional money. So we're good. And that we also add to our coffer for our next call for projects as well. So we get more funds to spend. So basically for Project Durain, we're adding a new PE phase, about $1 million into fiscal 2022. Currently the right of way program in this year might be moved later, but we will get back with the GDOT project manager to see what we need to do about that. If we need to move the right of way phase to like 2023, 2024, we will do that later. But for this meeting, we're just adding the PE phase in 2022. For the transit portion, I would just cover it. And if you have more detailed questions, and Stephanie Cutter from CAD is here, Ashley is here, so they might be able to, and Faye over there, so they all might be able to provide you with more information. But I would just to tell you what I understand would be the transitive amendments. For the Section 5307 program, basically when we developed the TIP, and this is for the fiscal year 2022, CAD get a partial apportionment from FTA. So that partial apportionment is about like $4.7 million. But now this is fiscal year 2022 and FTA released the full apportionment. So you want to replace the partial apportionment with the full apportionment. So the full apportionment is about $6.2 million. And also with this $6.2 million, you have several projects programmed. But with this additional funds, we want to make sure the funds are allocated to the right project categories. So that will be shown in the detailed project pages. And another program is Section 5307. This is basically the water ferry system. What CAD wants to do is to move the funds that is currently in fiscal 2024, $3.2 million, and to 2022, because they think that they can use the funds or get the funds obligated in 2022 to use it. And for CAT to apply for the FTA funds, FTA needs some project details. So part of this, like the 5307, you have a line item, but when you do the application, you actually more project details. So CAT wants to add a project page to provide that detail. So when they submit the funding applications through the FTA system, it's a check for FTA. They say, okay, it matches your tip. So that's for the 5307 at the new table that is being added. Another program for the 5339, this is the bus and bus replacement project. And currently you have, so these funds program 2021, 2022 don't change, $4 million, $3 million, they don't change, but it's the same way, just like the water ferry system. FTA wants to see more details. So you have some money over there, like $3 million, $4 million, but what it is for? So CAT has to provide a detailed table to describe that. So basically, these are the tip amendments. And I'll just go through the project pages. You can see this, the highway project pages. So we make just updates. For the transit, I just want to show you what I'm talking about the transit projects. So the 5307, this is the current, and you will see, it's like in 2022 is $4.7 million. So updated, and you have, you actually have a more than $6 million. And also we will probably sit down with CAT later to nail, redesign the project pages so that they can include more details. So in the future, we don't have to go through all these TIP amendments. So we would just make sure we include all the project information. And also we want to make sure that the federal and the local split is documented, because previously when they're lumped together, planning funds, you might have the 80-20 split, operating assistance is 50-50 split. But when you lump everything together, we just don't know, because we cannot keep track of that. We want to actually be transparent for everything. So we will lay that out. For this one also, yeah, we actually, I talked with Ashley. For example, we don't understand what is included under planning. So she added the information. The planning will be for doing the master transit comprehensive plan, the transit development plan, and electric implementation plan. So I think when we redesign this, we will make sure each one of these is outlined, and also how much will be for master transit plan, how much that will be for transit development plan. But for this TIP amendment, this will suffice, but we will work out a help CAT to redesign the new table.
All right, stop right there. Let me make sure everybody knows where we are, okay? Go back, slide back down. And I want to talk about those funds that you're talking about, and where they have plan up here, and then mm-hmm. they got the asterisk saying that it's the master plan, the transit development plan, and they look. What is our timetable? You need to get that from CAT as to what their timetable is.
I think currently the funds are programmed in 2022. Right now, what we are concerned is we want the CAT to apply for the funds and FTA obligated funds. Right. By the end of fiscal year 2022, and then CAT has up to 2 years or 3 years to use these funds. So each plan will have a detailed schedule. So we have a Gantt chart to show at what time what deliverable will be needed.
Okay, I want to make sure we spelled it out loud that they have until the end of this year, to the end of 2022, to come up with specifics, right, and detailed specifics as to how that money is going to be spent, so it don't get into a lap stage.
Yeah. I think what the MPO is doing now is trying to prevent the lapse.
Right.
So we want to make sure the FTA authorized the funds.
Right.
So CAT can start to do the plant development, so they can spend the funds. So you have to get the funds authorized first.
And I just want to make sure we spell it out for everybody who wasn't on that call yesterday with me, you, and Ms. Cutter. Okay. Specifying, Ms. Faye. We need to be more specific for the FAA. We need to be more specific for GDOT. And she needs detailed planning so that she can turn it in on time, so that we don't get into a bog and we don't get our backs against the wall. So is the end of April now? And y'all know by the end of the year, it's got to be done. Okay. And I just want to make sure we spell that out today, yeah. Because actually right now, Waco is our only MPO person. All right. And so that means she got a lot on her plate because she's trying to do these road projects. She's trying to do cap projects. She's trying to do the water fair project, seeing all the rest of them. So we can't back her in a corner. We got to do the trail project with the city. All right. We got to do the Derens thing for the, and the wind is short. See, and there's a whole lot of work that needs to be done. So we need for you all to get with her and get specific as you can so that we meet the requirement that the feds are sending our way. Okay. Cause they don't have no problem moving the money now. If you don't use it, you lose it.
Yeah. We don't want to lose any money.
Listen, keep that in mind. Everybody who's working with this, keep that in mind. If you don't use it, we're going to lose it. And we don't want anything to go into the lapse mode, not even close to the lapse mode. We want to have all the specifics that they're requiring, and they're requiring it now. You can't skip over the C and D and get to the Z. You got to do the C and D. You got to do the A, B, C, and D, and then go on down the alphabets. Well, 1, 2, 3, and on down the alphabets. All right. There are no shortcuts, because if it's shortcuts, they're going to kick it out. And when they kick it out, they're going to take the money back. All right. We don't want any monies going back. Mm-hmm. And that's what we are working towards. Okay. So I wanted to make sure that all the board members understand what we're dealing with. Okay. We're dealing with federal and state regulations. And if they said you got to walk 1 foot in front of the other, you put 1 foot in front of the other. If they said walk side by side, you walk side by side, because they're in control and they can honestly snatch. See, by lapsing it. Okay. Anybody want to make comments on that?
Chairman, I just wanted to assure you that we understand at CAT, and we've talked to Wakota today about moving forward the coordination and such. And we appreciate the support for this today. And there will be absolutely no issue with us meeting the timeframes for these three planned projects. We are eager to move them and ready to move them. So. Thank you.
Yeah, I think for the CAT, the three plan development, I mean, you might have to come to the MPO board to do a presentation.
Right.
Yeah, yes, to update us on where they are.
We would be glad to.
Yeah.
Question?
Go ahead.
Whoops. I get confused sometimes with the fiscal years that's different. What is the fiscal year ending date for these kind of funds, or
the state fiscal year ends on June 30th. The federal fiscal year ends on September the 30th. So what we want CAT to do is to apply for the funds and get funds authorized before June. Yeah, before the end of June.
That's why I asked her for the timeline.
Yeah. Just doing it as soon as possible, because we don't want to like have those 3 months difference, and then that will be counted into fiscal 2020. You don't want to like go there. You just want to get the funds authorized as soon as possible, as early as possible.
And that June 30th date is the same for the Z230 as well?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, so want to make sure, you want to make sure the your funds are authorized before that.
See, and my intention was to make sure nobody don't think we're dealing with December 31st. We're not dealing with December 31st.
Yeah.
So say the end of the year, but we're talking about the end of the fiscal year. Talking about December 31st, and that was my point for making that reason.
Yeah.
You're saying.
Yeah, Chatham County got the Z230 funds, reallocated Z230 right. funds for the Girard and Chavers. So after the MPO board adopts the TIP amendment, and we will send this updated TIP amendment report to FHWA, and so you will have your basis, and then you revise your PFA. To make sure that funds are authorized.
That's why I wanted you to go back and talk specifically about timeline.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Wicker.
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else?
The water ferry, as you can see, we are actually only adding the table for this amount for the facility enhancements for the $3.32 million. So we're adding this table just for that amount. And then for the 5339, we're adding this just provided project description. So currently, I think for this meeting, well, we just model the highway project pages for these transit projects, but we will design this later so that we can have each one of those have details. Any questions on the transit improvements? And Kat can help you.
Right. Someone is speaking.
Mr. Chairman, this is Dr. Shabazz.
Okay.
I have a question in reference to Project Duren.
Project Duren.
Yes. You stated Project Duren. I just want to make sure we're talking about the boulevard portion of the project, and that is coming off of 516 between on Duren between Montgomery and White Bluff in reference to the right of way in New Hampstead. So is that the section that you're talking about that you're reporting on?
Yes.
Okay. With the environmental justice portion, just for public clarity, because, you know, we've been talking, like you said before, we've been dealing with this for many, many, many years, almost a decade now, or a decade and a half. How long is it being reported in reference to the environmental justice? Because we thought this portion was, you know, over, and we were looking for the right-of-way acquisitions to start this year. Well, do you know anything about that?
Actually, the GDOT project manager did send me, he did send me a schedule. So it's like about 18 months schedule. Let me show you that information.
Okay.
Wakota, this is Christy Levitt with the Department of Transportation. I can also kind of add to that. The city of Savannah has to go through their procurement process also for the additional work, because it's in addition to what they had under contract. So that'll take a little bit of time also, plus then the additional time to adhere to whatever the federal highways new guidelines are, which is still a little unknown. We have to get the plan developed and approved by them on exactly what that'll look like for the extra environmental justice work. So, but they do have to get somebody back under contract for that additional work too. So that's a little more timeline also. I just wanted to point that out.
Thanks, Christy. This is what the GDOT project manager sent me. So the public outreach is about 25 weeks or 6 months, and revise the EIS or environmental impact statement or ROD or record of decision with new outreach, that's another 6 months. And then the legal sufficiency review, that's about another 6 months. So a total schedule. So they're basically adding about 18 to 19 months to the project. So I'm okay. Pretty sure the right way will have to be moved to later years, but we don't know now until we get this settled. So we will process the TIF amendments later for the right way phase. But right now, this is just to undertake all this legal sufficiency review, revised outreach, public outreach.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for showing the details. I appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome.
Mr. Chairman, we actually advertised for a public hearing on the TIF amendments, so we need to do that.
You ready for
public hearing?
Are you ready to do that? All right. So now, may I have a motion that we go into a public session for a public hearing?
Mr. Chairman. Second by Dr. Shabazz.
All right, it's a proper motion and second that we go into public hearing. Are you ready for the question? Please say vote and say who you are.
Aye, Tom Hutcherson.
Hi, Tom Caiafa.
Hi, Les Fussell.
Hi, Eric Larson.
Hi, Tom Milton.
Aye, Dr. Shabazz.
Aye, Pamela Bowen.
Aye, Nick Palumbo.
Aye, Faye DiMassimo.
Aye, Diedrich Cody.
Aye, Jim Aiello.
Aye, Chairman Chester Ellis. All right, now, do we have anybody who has raised their hand or signed up for a public hearing? We don't have anyone, but we did advertise for it. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Hearing none, may I have a motion to come out of public
session? Mr. Chairman, this is Dr. Shabazz. I make a motion to close the hearing, public hearing.
Okay. Nick Palumbo, second.
Probably motion and second that the public hearing be closed. Are you ready for the question? All of the favor, please signify by voting. State who you are.
Aye, Tom Hutcherson.
Aye, Les Fussell.
Aye, Tom Caffa.
Aye, Tanya Milton.
Aye, Dr. Shabazz.
Aye, Dr. Shabazz.
Aye, Pamela Bowen.
Go ahead.
Aye, Nick Palumbo.
Aye, Faye DiMassimo.
Aye, Diedrich Cody.
Aye, Jim Aiello.
Aye, Chester Ellis, Chairman. All right, we out of public back in. All right.
Okay, so we would just ask the MPO board approval or adoption of the proposed TIP amendments as presented.
Right. May I have a motion for the TIP amendment?
Mr. Chair, yes, sir, I move that we approve the TIP amendments to FY 2021 through 2024.
Second the motion, Dr. Shabazz.
Proper motion, second. Are you ready for the question? Please signify by your vote and tell who you are.
Aye, Tom Caiafa.
Aye, Les.
Aye, Tanya Milton.
Aye, Lee Smith.
Aye, Eric Larson.
Aye, Nick Palumbo.
Aye, Dr. Shabazz.
Bob Miley, aye.
Aye, Faye DiMassimo.
Aye, Diedrich Cody.
Aye, Jim Aiello.
Aye, Chester Ellis, Chairman. Okay, that passes now.
Thank you.
Last thing I want you to do now, I want you to reemphasize, okay, because I know from yesterday's conversation how important this is for folks to meet deadlines.
Yes.
And we cannot be lagging around. So we need to have what done by when? With the whole thing, with the whole TIP. Tell Cat when we need their things, tell the City of Savannah when we need theirs.
Yeah, actually for City of Savannah, for the additional PE phase for the project drain, actually we have to get the commitment letter that you're going to provide the local match. We actually currently have an email from the engineering department and they say that they have the funds. But I mean, formal commitment letter would be better.
That's what you need.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm trying to get to where we were yesterday.
Yes.
So that those on the City of Savannah know what they need.
Yes.
And the email is good, but you need the formal letter.
Yes.
From the mayor and city council.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
We need that done, and we need it done when now?
Before the end of the month.
Okay. All righty.
Okay.
I want to make sure we spell it out now.
Yeah, because I mean, we will talk about that when we talk about the call for project, because right. Currently Chatham County knows the process, but a lot of the smaller municipalities, they don't understand the process. When Chatham County sent us the request, they send the commitment letter. So a CAT also, even if they are doing the study, they send the commitment letter. So City Savannah, you're a little bit behind. So we want you to stick to the rules if we want to do that.
So I'll be pushing you to meet the deadline.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Anything else there?
Yeah. That's all right. Thank you.
Thank you. Ready to go to other business? All right. No other business. Let's go to status report. Can we get the freight transportation update?
We're going to do the freight plan update pretty soon. We got awarded the discretionary planning funds last year. We already signed, we did a procurement process in November to February of this year. We negotiated with the top ranking consultant firm, which is Cambridge Systematics. We signed the funding contract, MPC signed the funding contract with GDOT. And then we also finalized the scope of services and fee negotiation with consultant and sign the contract. And then we issue the notice to proceed for the freight plan update. And we're going to have the kickoff meeting this Friday. So in June, we're going to have the ad fact meeting actually. So we will have our initial input or output from the plan. So this plan eventually will fit into the 2050 long range transportation plan.
Okay, any questions there now? All right, hearing none, okay. Let us move on.
And this is the urban planning. I will just go talk about this one very, very quickly. The urban planning model tool is what our executive director, Ms. Melanie Wilson wants to do. And this study also got the discretionary planning funds. So we already signed the contract, MPC signed the funding contract with GDOT. Currently our project, previous project manager, Alicia Hunter left. So, another staff, Kate Morano from Advanced Departments, currently is helping us to negotiate with the top-ranked selected team, which is the UGA, University of Georgia, finalizing the currently is in the process of finalizing the scope and negotiating the fee. And hopefully, well, the plan is to have all this done by the end of the month. And so next Monday's, next Tuesday's MPC meeting, we will execute the contract. So for and then issue the notice to proceed. So everything is contingent upon the finalization of the scope of services this week.
Any questions from anyone? Okay, hearing none. You ready?
The next one is Pullers Project.
I haven't been in the well in a long time. I don't want to be. Leon Davenport, Thunderbolt Consultants here on behalf of Pooler. This is a study for the USAID corridor. These were funds that came from some of the CARES Act funds that was handed down by the feds. This will study the corridor from the county line from the west all the way up to SR 21 in Savannah. All the municipalities know about the study, know that it's coming. The city of Pooler is going to be the lead on this due to the fact that Wycota is a one-man show right now. So the RFPs are out. The PFA is being negotiated between us and GDOT, and they're supposed to be received on May the 2nd.
All right, do me a favor. Tell the folks at Pooler, right? You're a consultant, all right? I'm not trying to insult you, but I'm just trying to get our ducks in a row. They need to bring their butt here, all right? They need to start doing this because they are the ones who have to vote and speak for this, okay? You don't have a vote, and I have to make sure, as one of the instructions I got yesterday, I'm supposed to make sure that this stuff is done decent and in order and on time and online. So we realize that this is going through Garden City, Bloomingdale, City of Savannah, unincorporated Chatham. So whomever they need to meet before the meeting so that we know who is here to make sure we get the meeting, because I don't want folks coming back at us, okay? And that's no insult to anybody. That's just making sure we get our ducks in a row, because this project is too important for us to get caught up on semantics or small whatever that comes up. So let us make sure that we are on task and online with these, okay? All right? Everybody with me? Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chairman, this is Tom.
Yes.
Just want to make sure that you understand that we are on top of this. We've been working with Leon on this project, and we are currently getting the RPs out and expect to bring that to the board in June.
Okay. So now are you all on are you all in sync with Garden City and Bloomingdale and City of Savannah and unincorporated Chatham? Are we all on the same page, Wycota?
I just want to mention GDOT is circulating a PFA,
right,
a project framework agreement. So Pooler needs to sign that. So Leon is providing the contact information so that he can put in the, it's like a contract.
Right.
So between GDOT and Pooler. So they have to sign that before they award a contract to any selected consultant.
Okay.
So just want to make sure that Mr. Hutchinson understands that.
You understand that.
Yeah.
And that's my point for doing what I did. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. I'm not trying to tell anybody how to run their business.
Yeah.
But the consultants can't sign.
Yeah, I just want to let you know what is upcoming. So the PFA, Pooler needs to sign the PFA, and then Pooler needs to sign the funding contract. I mean, they have to do the review and selection first. When they have the final top consultant, they would do the negotiation, and then they would have to sign the funding contract with the consultant, and then Pooler will with the consultant will develop the study. At that time, I think all of the jurisdictions will need to be conveyed as a steering committee. So even if Pooler is leading the study, but Bloomingdale, City of Savannah, Chatham County, Garden City will need all to be involved in the study development.
Because somewhere down the line, they're going to have to do the MOU or IGA, right?
I don't think so. Yeah.
You don't have to do.
Yeah. No.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And we will make sure that they actually come to the MPO board or TCC
right,
to give us the update, because they are using CRESA funds,
mm-hmm,
and we control, not control, we manage the CRESA funds, the Z230 funds, HIP funds. So we require the project sponsors to give us bi-monthly update. So if they don't provide update, we have the authority, MPO, MPO has authority to get the funds back.
Right. And I don't want that to happen.
Yes.
Okay. But I want to make sure that they understand that we're working sort of one-handed now, because you are our lady.
Yeah.
So we have to make sure those things are in time and on time so that you can carry out your duties and responsibilities.
Okay. Thank you, Chairman.
Yeah.
The next one is the State Route 21 Access Management Study. The MPO did this study through a consultant, and the consultant, I'm going to give the presentation.
Okay.
So we need to share her screen.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to let you know that the final report of this study is already posted to the CORMPO website.
Right.
So anybody wants to read it, and you're welcome.
Okay.
Do we have the ability to share her screen?
Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to load it now.
Okay.
Is it showing? Oh, there it is.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay, yeah, still spooling.
I mean, if it doesn't show, I would just open the presentation up over here.
Okay, yeah, because I tramped down a couple of slides. Okay, I think it's popping up now. I wanted to condense it in the interest of time. Let's see here. Is it showing now?
Something is coming.
No. Okay.
No, it was showing a while ago, but it's not showing now.
Yeah, it's not coming. You can just use the, I can control the mouse.
Okay. Let's see. Yes, it is showing.
Tell her to leave it. You're confusing her. Confusing her.
Okay. Is it on now?
She did it again.
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, I can just use the slides that I included, and then I can just, you know, be brief with the presentation.
I will control the mouse. It's easier.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so let me stop showing.
What?
Oh.
Does it show my screen?
Is it up now? Okay. So, all right, there we go. Okay, so apologies, everybody. So it's showing the presentation outline right now, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So my name is Amy Turner. Sorry, I am the project manager with Core Engineering, and we were the consultant hired by Core MPO and Garden City to complete the State Route 21 Access Management Study. We've completed the process. As Wakota said, the full study is available on the project website, and we wanted to give a presentation to the Core MPO board about the study, and then on Monday, we're going to go before Garden City Council and do a similar presentation on the outcomes of the study. Are the slides moving?
No, that's right.
Oh my goodness, I don't know what is going on.
Well, Code will have to do it from here, right?
Okay, so yeah, you can go to the next slide. Sorry about that, everybody. So just a few corridor highlights. So the study was conducted from State Route 25 as State Route 21 entered into 516 up to Grange Road, which is just north of 307. It provides direct access to I-95 and I-516. It is the first corridor that parallels the Savannah Port. So there's significant freight traffic, but there's also a lot of commercial development along the corridor. Significant crash experience for the majority of the section is three lanes in each direction with a center two-way left turn lane. And then there's also a new K-12 campus. So the priorities for the project were to come up with improvements along the corridor to improve safety for all modes of transportation. So maintaining mobility for the vehicles and freight traffic, but also increasing active transportation opportunities for pedestrians and bicyclists. Next slide. So overall, we started the project back in April 2021. That's when we had the kickoff meeting, and we conducted the existing conditions and needs assessment. We hosted a road safety audit where we had Core MPO members, as well as Garden City staff and GDOT representatives, as well as members from Bike Walk Savannah come out, and we walked the corridor, noted, you know, existing conditions and potential safety hazards along the corridor. We hosted two public meetings as well as conducted online surveys. And we went into concept development, put together the final recommendations that we put before the staff and the public, and develop an implementation plan for the city council to implement for the project recommendations. Next slide. So here's a few highlights from the public outreach. We did have news articles ran for the study, as well as a section on the local news channel for the actual study, which really boosted our participation from the public as far as surveys and attendance at the virtual public meetings last year. Next slide. So here's a summary or some highlights from the survey results. So one of the main issues that we heard a lot was traffic congestion along the road, trains that crossed north of Brampton Road, blocking traffic throughout the day, and then wanting to make the corridor more appealing and safer for the users. We also conducted a survey at the end of the study to survey the public on how they viewed the overall recommendations. And as you can see here, it was received positively overall for all of the recommendations we made for the study. Next slide. So overall, we recommended signal timing and signal equipment improvements along the corridor, making sure that they are coordinated. Also, with GDOT rolling out their smart corridor and connected vehicle and freight signal priority projects at signals along 307, we wanted to incorporate the signals along 21 in that rollout as well. We looked at installing raised median segments along the corridor to improve safety, access management, and also creating pedestrian refuges along the corridor, continuous sidewalks and multi-use paths along the corridor. There was a lot of support for transit expansion north of Brampton Road, so that was one of the recommendations to look forward to in the future. And then also other gateway and placemaking opportunities such as lighting and streetscaping. Next slide. So here are the proposed typical sections. Currently, south of Minus Road, that's where it becomes limited access to 516. So we recommend maintaining the existing section and installing a side path on the west side of the road. Between Minus Road and Smith Avenue, this is where the majority of the commercial and residential area, as well as the pedestrian traffic is, and the school, the new Groves High K through 12 campus. So we recommended, you know, installing median segments and side paths on both sides of the road. And then north of Smith Avenue, where it becomes more industrial as you approach 307, we recommended installing a side path on the east side of the road up until Granger Road as a long range project. And then eventually we wanted to look at opportunities to connect the trails along this section into the coastal greenway. Next slide. So here's a segment of the conceptual layout we put together for State Route 21 access management. So here are the median segments we mentioned, looking into opportunities to consolidate some of the driveways to reduce crashes, also streetscaping and placemaking opportunities. And we wanted to incorporate railroad crossing improvements at the crossing near Brampton Road. When we spoke with GPA, they did mention that with the new projects happening on site of the port, it would increase capacity on the port, which would reduce the amount of switching happening at this railroad crossing and being able to store more of the trains on site and more quickly. So we look forward to working with them and find out more about those improvements to improve that railroad crossing. Next slide. So here's the existing section of State Route 21. This is just south of where the new K through 12 school campuses will be. As you can see, six lanes, a center to a left turn lane, a traditional type commercial and restaurants along the corridor. On the next slide, you can see a conceptual rendering our LA team put together, and you can see the raised median segments, the side path, and streetscaping to really improve the overall aesthetics of the corridor. Next slide. So the implementation plan, we grouped all of the projects into short-term, medium, and long-term projects based on priorities for the city and funds. And of course, between Minus Avenue and Smith Avenue was the priority given the amount of activity in that section and the new school that's coming online soon. So that's how those were broken up into groups. Next slide. What we also put together for Garden City was an implementation timeline so they could try to get their overall plans together as far as implementing the projects. So what we recommended, of course, after presenting to the Core and PO board, as well as Garden City Council next week, we wanted to get the study accepted and then work with them on getting the project put into the TIP and exploring other potential funding opportunities to advance those priority projects. And I think that's the last slide. Overall, it was a great project. It was received very well by the public and staff of Garden City. Everyone is excited for something to happen along the corridor, and we've been grateful to have the opportunity to work with Core MPO and Garden City to make this project happen. That's all.
All right, now let me ask, is there anyone on from Garden City?
I believe Scott Robidier was on. I don't know if he dropped off or not.
He's off? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
but I think are you going to give a presentation to the Garden City Council, right?
Yes, I'll be there next to Monday night.
Yeah, so Garden City will be given the presentation.
Yeah, but I'm gonna say the same thing. Now we're gonna have the same problem. She's a consultant, right?
Okay. Yes.
You got my drift.
Yeah.
Okay. They can hire any consultant they want to, but when we're talking about getting down to the nitty-gritty, because I'm trying to figure out, I don't have any detailed explanation of what they're going to do with State Route 21 and the railroad crossing improvement. See, so now since we don't have anybody from Garden City, I'll save that, but I've got the same problem with that I was speaking to Ms. Davenport about, okay? And the folks who are in the jurisdiction, the folks who have been voted in, are the folks who need to be here to tell us this stuff, because we're going to run into a problem. And I'm trying to prevent that, because I don't need no backlash from GDOT or from the FAA or from the Highway Transportation. We don't need that. So therefore, this is good information, but they're going to ask us for specifics, and we need to be more specific. And so that was the nature of the call yesterday, all right, about being more specific, giving details of what we're doing. And conceptually, this might be fine, but we have to be able to put, from the MPO standpoint, we're going to have to be able to put specifics in place, or the money ain't going to flow. And that's what my understanding is. If I'm wrong, somebody straighten me out.
Garden City is the local project, and
right.
For this one. But if they want to the series of recommendations, we might be able to incorporate that into the next 2050 long-range transportation plan. And then, because a lot of these are operational improvements, if Garden City is going to pursue with one of these recommendations, they can start to do that, I think. If they need to apply for our funds, they can do that. So we will see what the MPO needs to do and what Garden City needs to do if they want to implement the projects.
Right. And my point for making all that, and I'm not trying to be the bad guy, but if I have to be, I have to be. My point for saying all that is, out of the meeting come with all those secretaries was, rather than doing Garden City doing their thing, Savannah doing their thing, Vernonburg doing their thing, Pooler doing their thing, there needs to be a concerted effort to bring these things together, because we can get more from our federal partners and the rest of them if we work on a countywide plan. And that plan have to be in the, it's 2050 or 2040?
2050.
All right, 2050.
Yeah, 2050.
We have to make sure those details and those things that they're requiring are in there, or we're going to run into a problem. And that's the point I continuously try to make, is how do we get all of us on the same page so that they know we're singing the same song and we don't have the altos out of tune. Okay? And they got you in the middle. We got you in the middle. I shouldn't say they. We got you in the middle. And I understand your frustration when it comes, because they're asking you questions that you can't answer because the municipalities have not corresponded that information to you. And that's where I'm going to work at. I want to work at making sure that if the MPO is involved, all right, and the municipality is involved, that we're all on the same page, singing the same song, doing the same thing, so that it works for Chatham County. Because in the end, there ain't but one county, that's Chatham. It got 8 municipalities, but it's just like you got 5 fingers. It's all different, but you don't have but one hand on that side, on the right side, and one on the left side. So I want to make sure we get that together, all right? So I'll deal with that. I don't want you to deal with it. I'll deal with it.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Ready now to move on? Are there any questions from anybody? Okay. Ready to move on?
Yeah, for the next two items, I will be very quick. For the 2050 MTP update, basically, yeah, the chairman has already told you that we are short staffed, so we're going to start early. The 2050 plan needs to be adopted in August of 2024. So we still have a 2 years to work on it, but with the staff changes, so we just have to make sure that everything's starting early. We are keeping track of the census data because the MPO boundary will change of this census. So far, we haven't received the formal Savannah urban area yet. So after we receive that, and we will see what our boundary will look like, because our boundary is a Savannah urban area plus the areas to be urbanized within the next 20 years. So we will revise our boundary, revise our bylaws, or revise our MOUs. So we keep an eye on that, on the census tract. And then also the GDOT has already started the model development, travel development model development. So the SE data will be feeding into that model, and that will include the household, the trips, population and household income, etc. So we got some information. And then another portion that we're doing is updating the goals, objectives, and performance measures. We started this in October of last year. We would try to wrap it up probably in August of this year. So our next step, we already presented the draft goals, objectives, and performance measures to the committees before once. So we would do a public meeting to collect those and revise that. Probably finalize the goals objectives, the next step. And the third one is the public engagement. So we're going to host probably piggyback on a lot of the community meetings. If we can go to the communities, do the presentation, collect their input. And also we will host like standalone public information meetings to collect input. We already identified some venues, like churches, community centers, and this list will expand, and we will decide what kind of information and at what time point that we would do the presentation at those communities. And the other portion that we talked about is because we are going to do the freight plan, we're going to do the congestion management process. Chatham County will do the US 17 corridor study if you get the funds, and Pooler is doing the US 80 corridor study, and Chatham Area Transit is doing the master transit plan and transit development plan. So all of those plans will finally fit into this 2050 plan. So I think we probably will have a more project this time because you have a revenue stream, but a lot of the big projects consume most of the revenues. I'm glad that our I-16 widening project is already under construction. I-16, I-95 is already under construction. So those two projects consume about $300 million. So if those are already under construction, that means when we have to have new revenue streams, we will have more revenues for new projects. So hopefully we can accommodate a lot of the recommendations from the studies.
We're also looking for revenues to help us with the plan for the
if the TIS Blaster passes, yeah, right. That's additional revenue. Yes.
But we're also looking for those revenues to come in so that we can have those plans for the 21 Railroad Crossing and the President Street Railroad Crossing.
Yeah.
And we've got to make sure we put them in and put them in right and put them on time so that we can get the study done so that we don't get down the road and then the feds kick us out.
That's why we want to do the study, right, before the plan is adopted. so that we can accommodate the study recommendations.
And I just want everybody to know now, our senators, both our senators have identified funds for Chatham County that Chatham County is eligible for in both transportation and railroad, all right, to help us with those things. But we've got to go through the process. We got to go through the MPO process mm-hmm. to get it done so that we don't get to a point and then they say, well, we don't have this study or you don't have that study. And you cannot do a study overnight. Studies are not done in 1 month, all right? It takes time. She gave you a timeline before where they talked about 25 weeks here, 25 weeks there, 25 weeks there, 6 months here, 6 months there, 6 months there, which turns out to be what? A year and a half, 18 months.
Yeah. All right.
And those things must go through that process in order for us to be eligible and to receive those funds that we are eligible for right now. The money is in place right now. We need to do the work to get the studies done. And that's what we're going to be pushing for.
Yeah, the next item I'm going to talk about the call for projects. Mm-hmm. Previously, because we still have a funding balance in 2023 and the 2024 that we need to award funds to specific projects. Previously, when the local jurisdictions sent us the applications and we have to deep them because they don't understand the MPO process. So their projects, we have to say your project is not eligible. So we want to prevent this time. So what we are going to do for this call for project, and first of all, I'm still working with Tom Kaffa from GDOT to figure out how much money we will have in 2023 and the 2024. So, and then the second part that I want to mention is we're going to host a pre-application workshop. So that municipalities and jurisdictions understand what is required. So let us know that what questions you will have and what kind of projects we have. And no airport has the I-95 Edwards Avenue interchange because we added in the PE in the phase, but that's with local funds. But when we have this, you will be eligible because your project is already included in the launch plan. So you'll be eligible. So you want to do a cost estimate, like how much you will need, how much you will apply. So give us a timeline. So you will be eligible. That might have, they previously applied for electric bus conversion. So they want to purchase more electrical vehicles. So that is eligible capital projects. But if you have like more studies or something, make sure that we want to make sure to tell everybody for your project, you have to be included in the long-range transportation plan. But there is a planning study, it has to go through the two meeting process. So we want to make sure if your study hasn't been discussed at the April meeting, you will have like June and August meeting, we'll give you two meeting cycles to have your study discussed. So just come up with the project and the city's FANA, look into your capital improvement programs to see if you have like bigger ones that need federal dollars. So you need to identify that. So just develop some kind of plan. So we want to give municipalities the opportunity to learn about the MPO process. So we don't have to eliminate you from the future candidacy for funding award. So basically just to work with us. So June 2nd, this is the planned date. We're going to host a pre-application workshop. And then if you have a studies or plans that you have already in mind, submit that to us so that we can start a discussion at the June meetings. So at least we will cover June meeting, August meeting. We have two rounds of discussions. So by that time, you will be eligible for projects. Just to dig into your program to see what projects will be eligible. Actually, Tybee, I know Tybee is not problem. Tybee is not online, but I already talked about the HIP funds. The project during took away that HIP funds from Tybee, so Tybee probably need that funds later. So they might need to start resubmit the application, so they can get the funds. So it just we don't want you to come to us later. And during the application process, and we have to tell you that your project is not eligible. We want to prevent that. So we want to educate everybody so that you know what is eligible, what is not. So this is what I'm going to do. This is the timeline. We're going to have at least two more meetings, June and August, and then we will start the call for project after the August meeting. And we're also going to focus on creating a waiting list. This is just because a lot of people don't understand the process. They think that they can get the funds right away. They apply, they don't develop the detailed project development schedule. They think they can apply for the funds for the first year available, but actually they are not ready. So they probably want to apply for funds in later years. So instead of 2021, have a realistic schedule. So you have 2023 or 2024. And also, I actually would encourage the municipalities. So if you have a budget, if you think you will need 1 million, you might want to apply 1.2 million. So apply more. So you might get less, but apply more. So at least we build this waiting list. So if one project cannot make it, so next one will kick in, or your additional funds will be awarded. So this is what we're going to talk about. We've just focus on building up this waiting list. So we will talk more about this after the pre-application workshop in June. We'll just give you an update at the next June meeting. And then in August, we'll send you the final application menus and forms for approval before we start the call for projects.
Please, everybody, put that June 2nd date on your calendars, please. And we need for all municipalities, we need for everyone who is a part of Core MPO, we need for you to be there so that you can get that information.
Yeah, actually, Polar and Garden City applied for projects before, but your projects were not eligible. Mm-hmm. But this is not the time to rely on your consultant, because your consultant sent us the application 2 days after due date. So you need to keep on top of this. So you need to really, yourself, your staff really need to understand the process.
Yeah, and that's why I'm saying I wasn't consulting, I wasn't insulting, nobody's consulting, all right? Because you can get whoever consultant you want, but this has to be done by staff and by folks.
Yeah,
can't be done by others.
At least if you your consultant is submitting information for you, you need to keep on top of it to make sure it is submitted on time.
Yeah.
So
that you don't get voted out.
Yes.
And not eligible. Yes, sir.
Mr. Chair, thank you, Ms. Wang, for the presentation. I see that the minimum is $200,000.
Yes.
And what is the estimated maximum that you could apply for?
Well, it depends on how much we have available. So I think currently my estimate is we probably have like at least $13 million available.
And can they be split into, is that the total bucket of funding available?
Total bucket, yes.
So it would be wise for us to be strategic and aim somewhere for the middle.
Yes.
I'm already ruminating on it.
Be realistic. Be realistic. That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
So in terms of schedule and funding.
Right.
So the funding, the cost will always increase. So you will always want to, even if you have like current cost estimate, you probably want to target a little bit more on that. Yeah, but have a realistic schedule. Don't assume that you will get all the funds for the first year. You might split into later years. So be strategic, yes.
Excellent, thank you.
Okay. Reach for the stars. If you reach for the stars, you might land on the moon.
Yeah, so I mean, at the end of last call, the chairman was actually asked the question, CAD applied for 1 million, but if they wanted a little bit more, like 1.1 million, I said, no, you didn't ask for 1.1 million, mm-hmm. So you only get 1 million. So that's what I'm saying, be realistic.
We don't ever want that to happen again.
Yeah. So you want to make sure to, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And I've been, that's been said to me as chairman of both the MPO and the county. It's been said to me 3 times. Why y'all didn't ask for more money, isn't it? That's what they asked me.
Yeah.
Why y'all didn't ask for more money? Y'all cheating yourself. And so I told them, hey, start asking. See? And you'd be surprised at how it works when you ask for it, because the money was there. We just didn't ask for it. See? anything. And so we want to make sure that don't happen again.
Yeah, that's why we still have the balance.
Right.
Because they didn't ask them more.
If we ask for all 30 million, they might put in 35. Who knows? Just like GDOT went and found that money back from 1990.
Yeah, I think that's from IST.
Yeah,
that's what
that
I
money
heard,
forward.
Yeah.
See, but if you don't have nothing in, you don't get that now. Okay. Are you ready to move on?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to GDOT. Someone's on GDOT. Oh, okay.
Yes, sir. Okay, first and second line pre-construction updates, beginning with bridge replacements over Savannah River and Middle River in Port Wentworth. Both of these projects continue in preliminary design. Number three, the safety improvements on State Route 204 from State Route 21 to Rio Road continues in PFPR. There's a PCRF being submitted in April. Number 4001-5675-I-16 at Chatham Parkway, currently working on correcting FFPR plans. Those are due in May, and it's on schedule for September let. Line 5 and 6, the widening and bridge replacement on State Route 404 spur US 17 from Northeast Savannah Harbor Parkway to Back River. Concept report is ready for submittal now. Number 7, the bridge replacement at Bull River continues toward PFPR, and number 8, Lazaretto Creek Bridge continues toward right-of-way plan approval. Number 9521855, State Route 26 from I-516 to Victory Drive, working on final design and toward FFPR. The new line number 10, project number 008023, is a roundabout at State Route 30. Hodgeville Road, it's in concept and anticipating May notice to proceed. For the active project? Yeah.
Yeah. Before you move on to the construction project, can we, I mean, how can I find out what will happen to number 7? Because currently the PE, right-of-way, utility, construction are all in 2022. I don't think it will make it. So.
Okay, hold on.
Can just find more information on that if we needed
to. So exactly what do you need? What information do you need? It's on the schedule right now. It's still in 22. And so what do you need?
I was told the funds cannot be authorized in 2022. It's not ready because currently all of the funding phases are programmed in 2022. That's why they are taking away the HIP funds from this project.
Yeah, hi, this is Robbie Cottle. Katie, if you want to talk to me after this meeting about what's going on, 0017414 and 0017415. Wycota, you're correct. This the right of way phase is not in 2022. It's in 2024 currently. Yeah. Not entirely sure why this says 2022, but this is not where the money is for the right of way phase.
Okay. Yeah. Let's follow up on that.
Absolutely.
Okay. Let me ask this question then. Do the folks at Tabby know that?
Probably not. That's why GDOT. I insist that GDOT informs IB.
Okay.
About the realistic schedule. Yeah.
Can I be in on that conversation? On that phone call, I'd be interested to find out what's going on with that project as well. This is Pamela Bernard with the county.
This is Christy with Levitt again with DOT. We have been in coordination with Tabby Island, so they are aware of the dates, and we are working to get the dates updated. So yeah, but they are aware. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So active construction. All projects are progressing. Line number 9 is 0006328. The widening reconstruction of Brampton is still under the 120-day deferral. Line 10, the roundabout in Bryan, is finishing up the corrective work. And Effingham Parkway has begun driving the pile bins. And that's all that was new on active.
Okay, any questions for Katie?
Are there any? All right.
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am. I'm ready to move on.
Oh, sorry.
Our Chatham County project status update.
Okay. The three federally funded projects, I-16, Chevis, and Girard are all moving forward. Chevis and Girard are well underway now with surveys and environmental stuff, all traffic surveys, all that stuff's getting started. So they're going well. Quaco clearing should be coming out soon. Little Neck, they're in the middle of right-of-way acquisition now. And the last three there of pre-construction, Wall Tower, Roads, Johnny Mercer, and US 80 Sidewalks are all under right-of-way acquisition. And then the two projects we have for construction, McCorkle Trail is going well. And then the resurfacing should be getting started. They just got notice to proceed like last week, so they should be getting started soon.
All right, any questions?
I think CEC members was asking about the Quaco Road widening and Little Neck Road widening. Are there any like concept or layout available on the county website?
Not
on the county website.
I don't think there is. But we've got plans. I'm sure there was concept drawings done a while back, so we should be able to provide those something. I'll get it to you, Waikato.
Okay. Yeah, it's just the CEC member did the request. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. CAT project status report.
This is Ashley Goodrich from Chatham Area Transit. CAT's status update is our previous executed grant for 33 paratransit vehicles has been under supply chain issues. We have reordered under state contract for the same amount of that project, but we will be ordering a few less vehicles than the original 33 vehicle count. Our diesel bus replacement is in progress. The bus order was replaced in December for 3 35-foot buses. Estimated completion date is June 2023. That is running on schedule. Our Clever ITS, Clever Devices project, we have been getting between phase 5 to phase 6. Our fleet is nearly at 100% installation for hardware, and we are currently working through software issues and further phasing of phase 6 to move on to phase 7. The ferry boat maintenance facility and ferry dock, we're continuing coordination with the city of Savannah regarding an updated property appraisal, which will tie into our grant coordination for execution with the FTA. Facility rehabs at CAT Central are still under contract review. Our bus wash facility upgrade, the contract was executed in February to March, and we have had our vendor at the property over the last 2 weeks. The bus wash is actually almost complete in its install, and we are hoping within the next 30 days to have it ready to go and be utilized. The last project for CAT were our support vehicles. All of our ordered vehicles have been delivered, and they are being utilized with our staff and system. Thank you.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
I don't see it on here. What is the status report of the ferries?
So right now, currently, we have the two ferry vessel purchases that we were able to get our grant executed with the FTA in fiscal year 2022. We are currently in the design phase with our vessel builder or not the builder per se, let me use the correct word, naval architect. So we have a meeting scheduled with them next week, pretty early next week, and then we'll be working through over the next 45 days the design process of the boat, and then later in the fall get closer to when that finishes up for construction of each ferry vessel.
Okay, so we're not in jeopardy no more. That money is lapping, right?
No, sir. It's ready to go, and it's being executed and spent.
Okay. Let's make sure we include that in when we update like this. Let's make sure we include that, okay? Because folks need to know we had to rescue that money, right? I'm not telling you anything you don't know. We had to rescue that money.
That's absolutely true, sir.
I'm talking about the county. Had to rescue that money, and so want to make sure we keep it on your update.
Okay? Yes, sir. We'll have a more detailed description for the next month.
All right. No money lapsing here.
No, sir.
Okay. All right. City of Savannah, project status report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Barry Stanton with City of Savannah. There's been some updates since we've submitted the updates that you see on the screen here. The pre-construction meeting has been scheduled for May 3rd for the Durant or the Lessips project. Construction is expected the second quarter, which is probably within a month or so. Next project is the traffic control center. Procurement phase has started. Advertising will begin this week. Pre-bid is scheduled for May 5th. Award is expected by June 9th. The Durant project, these updates will pretty much echo Wakoda's earlier presentation. But I would like to add that the schedule that was presented is conceptual. The city staff has already had meetings with U.S. DOT Senator Warnock and Senator Ossoff's staff regarding our concerns as it pertains to the timeline and the path forward. We're awaiting official response, noting that once impacts or more definitive, the project schedule will be updated accordingly. The last project is the Truman Linear Park Trail Phase 2B. Z301 funds will be shifted to fiscal year 23. The city is requesting CRESTA funds in the amount of $1.7 million, which Wakoda mentioned earlier, and property acquisition process is ongoing. That concludes my updates.
All right, any questions? City of Savannah.
Mr. Chair, just a comment. Thank you, Mr. Stanton, for your report and passing this along. Perhaps this is a symptom of us not being in person, but you know, in the future, I just want to throw down the gauntlet and the challenge that the city of Savannah is going to be better utilizing our time and experience and taking advantage of the programs here. I noticed the difference in a lot of the presentations today, whereas other presenters are being more definitive, and I'm glad Mr. Stanton's been more definitive. I see from the city of Savannah, I see is being expected to or ongoing. On a lot of vague terminology, and I'd like to see us be more specific and mindful in the future. Our time on this planet is limited. The funding that's out there that's coming down the pipeline from the federal government is copious, and it won't be there forever. So we need to do a better job of taking care of that and seeking that initiative. And I just want to let you know that we'll be online to take advantage of the programs in the future.
Yeah, thank you. I just want to mention some follow-up items for two projects. For the Traffic Control Center, we did talk with Steve Henry. So you are going to execute a PFA with GDOT pretty soon, because the funds in fiscal 2022, you need to get the funds authorized by June 30th. So even if you are going to do this RFP, you need to make sure you execute that contract, execute the PFA. so that the GDOT can exit, can authorize the funds by June. And the second thing is about the project drain we have talked about. We still need the official commitment letter by the end of this week. So just want to follow up with you on those two items.
And I take it to the time. I've already sent a letter to our city manager and assistant city manager requesting they get that official letter on the letterhead by the end of the month.
Okay, great. Great.
So thank you.
Which is Friday.
Yeah, which is Friday. Yeah.
Which is Friday.
Yeah.
Present.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
This is Dr. Shabazz, which is Friday, and we're going to have that in. Thank you.
Okay, great. Yeah, Traffic Control Center, I know Leon was your consultant, but I mean, I have to step in. So you really need to, like, work with Steve Henry and the GDOT to make sure that the PFA is executed. Otherwise, you're not going to have that money authorized. Okay.
Let me ask this now. Back in, when was it, November, maybe December, that money that we found for the Truman Linear Trail that they didn't know was there, and this is an additional 1.7 million on that?
Yeah, that's the one. They requested $1.75 million, and then we asked them why didn't you ask more,
right?
And then they said they have enough, so yeah.
So that was 1.75 already there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So now they're asking for an additional 1.7?
No. This should be the city actually was awarded. It's not requested. It's not requesting.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's what I need to be straightened out on.
Yeah.
Because y'all had me kind of puzzled.
Yeah, they got right. awarded.
I just want to tell Dr. Shabazz, and I want to tell Mr. Palumbo. Your project for the linear trail was one of those ones that came up that I was asked why we didn't ask for more money.
Yes.
See,
yes.
I mean, you got the 1.7, but they want to know why you didn't ask for 5 million. Yeah. See, and so I'm telling you all, and I'm saying to all the municipalities, you got to start asking for more money, because we're getting the question. I'm getting the question. Y'all asked for 1.7. Why y'all didn't ask for more? Because there was more money available.
Yeah, so, well, if your cost is more than this, you can definitely ask more. Yeah,
you need to amend that and ask for some more money.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna say this, and you said it, Ms. Palumbo, but I'm gonna say it to all of us. The money is now, and it's gonna be a one shot deal. Better get it while the money is available. See, so they're asking us, they're asking me why we didn't ask for more money. See, and I can't answer that question because I didn't make your request. All right. So you already got the 1.7. That's been awarded. But you can ask up for more money. And so those who are listening to me now from the city of Savannah, Pooler, Bloomingdale, wherever, all right, in this county, even the county itself, ask for more money. Because the feds are asking me why we're asking for so little. And I sat there and looked in that book as I was talking to those secretaries, and we asking for 1.5 and other people are asking for 30.5. And so we getting the shortcut. We're going to come up short. So Wakota is saying the same thing that I'm saying, yeah, that I got out of D.C. Y'all need to speak up y'all game. Y'all need to ask for more money because it's available. And if you don't ask for it, it's going somewhere, because it's already been allotted. It's going somewhere. See, and so to have $53 billion sitting over here that nobody has asked for, and we still asking for 1.7, pick up the game, all right?
Okay.
We're ready with that?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to number 14, right? The last project.
Is Stephanie online?
Stephanie online.
Yeah, Stephanie is not online, but she did provide this project update on US 17 widening. Okay. In the North Carolina, South Carolina side.
Okay.
So you have this written as written.
All right, let's go to 15, TIP project tracking.
This is the one that I've been talking about. The MPO manages the Z230, CRESA, and HEAP funds, and we require the project sponsors or whoever got awarded the project to give us the update on your status every other month. So it's basically come to the TCC meeting, come to the MPO board meeting, give us an update If you're not making enough progress, the funds are not being spent, just like the Tybee USAID project, we're going to take away your money. So basically, that's a shining example of there. So you'd better make sure that you're making progress. So I'm coordinating with all the project sponsors. So they sent me the updates every other month on this.
So from this chair, do I need to send memorandum? Do I need to send it to request that they keep us updated with the information?
It's already outlined in our call for project manual.
Yeah, so
it is a requirement that they have to provide update to us bi-monthly.
But I'm just asking, do I need to remind them?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, they would have to, yeah, provide us.
I don't want us to get caught again.
Yeah.
We caught this time. I wanted to get caught again. So if we have to remind folks that this is what's there, you need to follow these. If we need to do that, I don't mind doing that.
Yeah.
All right. That's why I told you, I don't mind being the bad guy. I don't mind calling people to tell them, you need to get Wakota this information by Thursday of next week or by Tuesday of the week after, whatever.
Yeah, so our purpose is not to have the funds lapse.
Right.
So we want to spend it as much as, quick as possible. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Moving on now, do we have anything from Effingham County? Anything from Garden City? Anything from the Georgia Ports Authority? Do we have somebody on from the Georgia Ports? Jamie was on? Okay. All right, Hinesville. Fort Winward. Richmond Hill.
I have nothing. Thank you, Les Fussell.
All right. Savannah Airport Commission. Yes, sir.
Good morning. Quick project update from the airport. We got three projects currently in construction. We have a rental car project, CFC funded, $7 million. Provide safety, security, customer service upgrades. On the southeast quadrant, we have a current drainage improvement project that will allow us to build out the southeast quadrant. That's scheduled to be completed middle of July. And the last one is the cargo apron expansion. We placed concrete for five planes for future growth in our northwest quadrant. So that's a update from the airport.
Okay. Tybee. Bloomingdale. Thunderbolt. Vernonburg. All right, any other public comments? None. All right. 307 corridor study final report.
The final reports for the 307 corridor study and the State Route 21 access management studies are posted to the Cornfield website.
Okay. Now the next board meeting is June 22nd, but there is a workshop on
June 2nd.
Mm-hmm. All right. Listen, if you're connected to the MPO, we need you at that workshop. We need somebody from your organization at that workshop, okay? I'm going to send you a friendly reminder for June the 2nd, okay? Because you need to get that update done, because what's happening is, especially the smaller municipalities, they don't understand the process, and therefore they can't get their projects in, and then they come running in the door at the last minute with a project that can't be funded because it wasn't done. So our position is to update on you on how the process works. You got to go through the process so that the feds will give us the money, all right? I'm going to tell you the same thing they told me when I was in D.C. Mr. Chairman, all that you say about Chatham County sounds good, looks good, and we understand, but where's your plan? See, if you don't have a plan, you can't get money. And that's where the feds are. And I'm going to say to you now, the money that's available is a part of that $1.7 trillion. That money is already there. It's already been allocated. They're just trying to figure out how to spend it. So we need to help them spend it. And I tell you now, I told the folks up there, I help y'all spend it if y'all give it to me. And they said, give me a plan. So let's get those plans together in every municipality. Let's join them in together and get them under the MPO banner, and then we can get the money flowing, okay? All right. Anything else? All right, 10 o'clock on the 22nd. What time is the workshop on the 2nd?
We haven't determined on that yet.
Yeah. Determine the time and get it to me.
Yeah.
All right. All right. With that, no other business, call for adjournment.
Move to adjourn.
Second.